Okay, our study tonight is out of Malachi chapter 4, verses 5 through 6, God's prophet for leading Israel to repent. This finishes up our study of the book of Malachi. About 100 years after the Hebrew exiles had returned from Babylon and rebuilt Jerusalem and the temple, their initial enthusiasm had worn off, with life and worship becoming more mere routines. God sent Malachi to call his people to repent from spiritual apathy. And Malachi chapter 4, verses 5 and 6 predicted the prophet God would raise up to lead Israel to repent. So we view the passage for our insight and application. I want to read the verses and then we'll look at them. Malachi 4, verses 5 and 6. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth, that would be the land of Israel, with a curse. Okay. After God, through the prophet Malachi, had predicted his end time judgment in preparation for the millennial kingdom in Malachi chapter 4, verses 1, 2, and 3, he'd called Israel to remember the Mosaic covenant formed at Mount Sinai in Israel's exodus from Egypt. For God still held Israel accountable to keep that ancient covenant. And he did that in Malachi chapter 4, verse 4. Well, before closing his prophecy, Malachi added a final word from the Lord, the prediction that God would send Israel the prophet Elijah before the great and dreadful day of the Lord comes, according to the New International Version. Elijah would turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, or else God would come and strike the land of Israel with a curse. Now, this prediction about Elijah has led to problems of interpretation regarding its fulfillment. And I want to lay these out and share them with you. One view holds that John the Baptist literally fulfilled Malachi chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. The angel Gabriel told Zechariah, the father of John, that John would go before Messiah in the spirit and the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. He did that in Luke 1. The whole context is verses 3 through 19. Well, Gabriel thus combined the prophecy in Malachi 3:1 about the messenger of the Lord with Malachi chapter 4, verses 5 and 6 about Elijah, so that John fulfilled both passages. That's what Gabriel's implying there. However, though John admitted that he was the one who was preparing the way for the Lord, Isaiah 43 with Malachi 3:1, he expressly denied that he was Elijah in John chapter 1, verses 22 to 23. The people asked him, "Are you this? Are you that?" And one of the things they asked him, "Are you Elijah?" And he says, "I am not." That creates a tension in regards to interpretation. Another view holds that John did not fulfill Malachi chapter 4, verses 5 and 6, but that Elijah is still yet to come to fulfill it. When Jesus was asked about the coming of Elijah before Messiah's glory, in Matthew chapter 17, verse 10, this is just after the transfiguration on the Mount, he replied that Elijah truly was to come and to restore all things, but that when John the Baptist came, Israel's leaders did not accept him, and that the Messiah would similarly be rejected. He pointed this out in Matthew 17, verses 11 and 12. The disciples who asked him this were Peter, James, and John. They saw Jesus transformed into his messianic glory. And so he said, "Okay, you're the Messiah. If you're the Messiah, where is Elijah the prophet? He's supposed to come before." And so Jesus said, "He has come." And then they understood that he's speaking about John the Baptist. However, in Matthew, consequently, some claim that John did not fulfill Malachi chapter 4, verses 5 and 6, because Elijah is still to come, but that Elijah was a type of John and that there's a great deal of similarity between Elijah and Malachi 4, 5, and 6, and the messenger John the Baptist in Malachi chapter 3, verse 1. However, in Matthew 11, verses 12 through 14, Jesus clearly stated that John the Baptist was the Elijah who had been predicted to come. And Malachi chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. I want to turn to that passage because that's very significant. Jesus is extremely clear. And Matthew chapter 11, verses 12, 13, and 14. And Jesus is speaking, and he says, from the days, verse 12, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you will receive it, this is Elijah, which was to come. I know the King James says Elias, but that's translating from the Greek. It should be Elijah. So he says, if you will receive it, this is Elijah who was to come. And, of course, that's the word of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we believe that he told the truth. So Jesus clearly stated that John the Baptist was the Elijah who had been predicted to come in Malachi chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. So, the solution to this interpretation problem is to view John the Baptist as a type of Old Testament Elijah rather than the same person that John typologically fulfilled, Malachi 4, 5, and 6. In Matthew 17, 1 and 9 through 13, Jesus' disciples, Peter, James, and John, understood that Jesus referred to John the Baptist as the Elijah to come, as predicted in Malachi 4, 5, and 6. And what's interesting is that view Jesus did not critique. So John the Baptist indeed fulfilled the Malachi 4, 5, and 6 prophecy about Jesus. One thing about Jesus, he would not allow his disciples to believe something that wasn't true. He would clarify it. If he knew if they were thinking something that wasn't right, he always spoke to it and he addressed it and he corrected them. So he didn't correct them on this. So we assume that they were thinking right. Accordingly, John the Baptist's John chapter 1, verses 21 to 23 denial that he was Elijah was a denial of his being the same person as Elijah. See, Elijah was in heaven. The Lord took him to heaven in a rapture. He's in heaven. He's not coming back. So when God prophesied that he would send him Elijah, he's talking about a type of Elijah. So John was a type of the Old Testament prophet Elijah in fulfilling Malachi chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. That John was a type of Elijah explains Christ's statement in Matthew chapter 11, verse 14, a conditional statement, that John was Elijah if his hearers would receive it. For this condition suggests the typological identity of John as Elijah. I have a feeling that Jesus was speaking. He's speaking to the crowd there, and he says, if you can receive it. The implication is not all of you can receive it. This goes along with what Jesus did in Matthew 13, when he gave the parables of the kingdom. The disciples later asked him, why are you speaking in parables? He says, I'm speaking in parables because those who hear, because of their hardness of hearts, won't understand. But I'm speaking to you, and blessed are your ears, because you understand. You get it. So when God communicates truth in ways that are, where there's typology that's involved, or he's using a parable, he's trying to communicate to those who are righteous, who are going to open to this. But he's trying to block the insight for those who are not right with the Lord. Now, why would God use typology in this regard? I personally believe, I don't have anything in Scripture to prove this, but I personally believe that God did this intentionally to set up the world in the Great Tribulation to be seduced by a strong delusion. That strong delusion is that when the false prophet comes, he's going to call fire down from heaven, and that's going to swing over the Jew who's going to believe, this is Elijah who is to come, calling fire down from heaven. And he's going to get probably the Muslims to go along with it. And they'll say, he's Elijah, he's to come. And here comes the Antichrist. And so everybody's going to believe the Antichrist is the Messiah. So it's going to be a strong delusion. But they will buy into this passage, Malachi chapter 4, verses 5 and 6, because they're going to be taking it literally, calling fire down from heaven. It's got to be. So I really believe that's why God used this typology. He was setting things up because he's looking down the road at the great tribulation that is coming. And it's interesting, in 2 Thessalonians it says God will send them a strong delusion. God's going to set them up. He's setting them up right with this passage in Malachi. He's setting them up because they're not going to understand the typological fulfillment of this passage at all. They're looking for an actual Elijah. And they'll be convinced it's actual Elijah because he's actually calling fire from heaven. John the Baptist never called fire down from heaven. The false prophet would. So anyway, that's just a sidelight. And that's my own guess. Okay, that's not scripture, but that's what I'm guessing. Anyway, Elijah was to come before the great and dreadful day of the Lord, before the great tribulation and the messianic kingdom. Both of those are part of the day of the Lord. And that occurred with John the Baptist's arrival. John came before the great tribulation. He came before the messianic kingdom, obviously. However, Israel's rejection of John and Jesus led to God's postponing the great tribulation and Christ's messianic kingdom and his instituting the church era, which era was unknown to Old Testament prophets like Malachi. We know this in Ephesians chapter 3, 1 to 10. Paul says that it had been made known through him, the church, in which the Spirit of God would indwell both Jews and Gentiles. But that had been unknown in the ages past. But it was revealed under the ministry of the Apostle Paul. John picked up on that once the revelation came through. And John predicted about the eras of church history in Revelation chapters 2 and 3. But remember, the fact that we would have a church age, this was something that was quite new. It began to dawn upon the apostles, that first generation of Christians, as to what was going on. But anyway, the lesson is God promised to send Elijah to turn Israel back to the Lord. John the Baptist fulfilled the prophecy, but Israel did not recognize him or the Messiah. So God postponed the day of the Lord and instituted the church era. Big application. May we instantly heed God's call to repent that we might immediately enjoy his blessing. I'm taking the application to Israel and John the Baptizer, but applying it to us. Things go so much more smoothly in the Christian life if we pay attention to what God says and obey him immediately. If we don't obey him immediately, then he goes route B. If route B doesn't work, then he goes route C. He keeps turning the heat up. Route D minus, before we get down to F. So it's always important to heed the Lord immediately as soon as he says it. And then may we rightly interpret Scripture in following Scripture's own interpretation of other Scripture passages. You notice that we followed the interpretation of the Lord Jesus. And Jesus very strongly indicated that this was John, if you can receive it. And we want to receive it. One of the classic rules that we learned in interpretation, both in Bible College and Seminary, is when Scripture interprets Scripture, you go with that interpretation. Because if you go against Scripture's interpretation of Scripture, you're violating Scripture. Okay, so it's obvious that Jesus, of all people, interpreted this. We go with Jesus' interpretation. So that's one thing we have to be very careful. In fact, that's the first thing you do. If you have any difficulty understanding the passage, look and see if there's some other reference in Scripture that applies to that passage or deals with it and go with it. Many times there isn't, so you have to look at the context. But you immediately want to look at how somebody else has interpreted the Word of God, so that we know how to interpret it. This is interesting because on our vacation, my wife was reading a devotional on Sunday, and she pointed out there was a misinterpretation of the passage in the devotional. And I agreed with her. I said, yeah, it is. I said, it's interesting because I also found out when I was studying Psalm 86 that the four commentaries I had access to had missed something in the interpretation. The whole psalm is written in the form of a chiasmus, and we'll talk about that on Sunday. And the chiasmus actually points to what's in the middle of the psalm as the key. Major commentaries missed it. And chiasmus is one of the most common and ornate figures that we have, literary figures, but they missed it. And so it just reminded us of the tremendous importance to handle the Word of God. In fact, Paul says this, make sure that we are workmen who are not ashamed, rightly dividing, rightly handling the Word of God. So God help us to handle the Word of God correctly.